Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 180. So today, I'm talking to Dean Pascoe of Boomerang.ph. Dean has been in outsourcing about 12 years. He's from Australia. He has been living here for about, it's 4 or 5 years now, and runs Boomerang. He's the president of Boomerang, which is an outsourcing supplier in Clark, which is just outside of Manila. So Dean has huge experience in outsourcing. He has an accounting background, so there's really a lot of insight in what he shares here. We go into Dean's own journey, his own story with outsourcing, and what he's learned along the way over those 12 years. So a really good episode, and I certainly learned a lot. If you want to get in touch with Dean or know any more about this episode, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/180. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by Dean Pascoe of Boomerang Inc. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm great, Derek. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you for joining us today. You have just said you've been you've only had 4 hours sleep because of meetings to the US clients, and this is sort of part of what we face, isn't it, in the outsourcing sector. It is just such a kind of 24/7 industry. So really appreciate you coming on board. We are going to learn about Boomerang Inc. and kind of what you do for clients and businesses out there. But I suppose initially, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Well, okay. So again, Dean Pascoe, Boomerang Inc. president. I guess I've been living in the Philippines for 5 years. Boomerang's only 1 year old, and I worked for two other BPOs prior to this. But before that, I guess I was on the other side of the desk. I was a outsourcing client for about 7 years, so with two different businesses.
Right. So, and your, I just want to dig into your sort of origin story a little bit and kind of understand. To help the audience out there understand, I suppose, how on earth people get into outsourcing and how on earth people sort of live in the Philippines and things like that. So initially then, how were you introduced to outsourcing? You said you were on the other side of the desk for about 7 years?
Yeah, so all my background was accounting. So I worked my way up through the ranks of accounting from as we do, assistant accountants through to accountants, etc. And I was involved heavily in outsourcing with a wholesale business in Australia. They had about 70 branches across Australia, and they were constantly breaking even or losing money. Wow. And outsourcing was one of the ways that they ended up turning it around by moving approximately 20 to 25 administration staff from Australia over to, well, a mix of two countries, which included the Philippines. Right. And that changed their bottom line by almost $300,000.
Right.
And that kept all those jobs that were across those branches of Australia in operation. So that was an exciting adventure.
Wow. And you were one of the pioneers in Australia that was sort of implementing the outsourcing process. Were you along that journey from the beginning?
So with that company, it wasn't any of my ideas to do, etc., but I was the implementer. I was the one that dealt with the politics of people facing the loss of jobs, or even if they weren't faced with that, some people had it in their head anyway that the whole company was changing, and it was a big learning curve of putting SOPs in on dealing with people from other countries to the personas that how the company's changing and how it will work and dealing with negativity and dealing with attitudes once you've proven it does work, you know?
Yeah, and this is part of it, isn't it? It's a different process to actually have an outsourced operation, and you have to go through a learning curve yourself, you know, whether you're a startup or a pretty established operation like it sounded your one was. Initially, were you, obviously I assume you're a believer in outsourcing now, but what was your position then? Were you a little bit skeptical? Was it a hard sell for you yourself?
At the time, I guess my naiveness, let's say that, I was one to go with the flow. I was very happy to please bosses, and if this is what they wanted me to do, that's what I did. So, not until I got involved in it deeper did I understand the repercussions or what other employees dreamed up, right? So and how people reacted to that, right? So it was amazing how many jobs that would probably never ever get outsourced, yet people still felt threatened by outsourcing, and there was no need, you know. What these people that didn't see the big picture of is that at that time and the stage of that business, without implementing that outsourcing, the other, let's say, 150 jobs across Australia wouldn't have survived, you know?
Yeah, and that's a reality. You know, it's difficult. People can have quite a sort of myopic view, and often they don't sort of see the whole business in its entirety, and often reality is tough, isn't it? And businesses go down, and outsourcing is an opportunity to make a business efficient, not so all the jobs go overseas, but so that it can prosper and grow and contribute more to the community.
Oh yeah, and outsourcing's got the perfect ability to make some of those Australian jobs more valued, where and salesmen are the perfect example, where they're not doing all the let's say the mundane tasks of the paperwork, which salesmen are notorious of being bad at anyway. They implemented stages where their salesmen were ringing in and reading their notes off back to admin staff in the Philippines while they drive into the next client.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's systems and processes, isn't it? And as you mentioned, you were probably the one developing the SOPs, the standard operating protocols, because it's probably the salespeople that didn't have the procedural insight. They would just follow new procedures as opposed to necessarily designing new efficient procedures. Yeah.
Correct. So I was involved. In truth, most of my tasks back then for the business we're talking about right now, I was involved in the accounting side of things, and how each department reacted with the administration of outsourcing and how it reacted back to the management of accounting that stayed within Australia.
No, it's amazing. And I mean, I want to move on from this. I want to find out how and why you got to the Philippines. But you say you work for an accounting firm and you were outsourcing the administration stuff. It's very one of the more common roles to be outsourced is accounting. Did that company eventually move to outsource some of its back-end accounting functions?
Yes. So it wasn't an accounting firm. It was a wholesale company.
But
it moved its 25 accounting/admin people overseas. The second business that I was involved with that sort of led to us here was a security business. It outsourced its security monitoring service and its accounting departments over here.
Right.
And it's a very similar story. It's how that business stayed alive and stayed ahead. Because and it's not all about moving jobs over here. It was about getting more for the money, where for the same money they could have three people on the phones servicing clients better than just one if you compared it to Australia.
I think we actually know the we have mutual friends in that business, but the and it is true, isn't it? With outsourcing, again, it's not just sort of replacing like for like, but it's enabling companies to wow their clients with really good proper service, as opposed to in the West, it seems to be a race to the bottom of kind of stripping out everything, doing as little customer service as possible, as little customer contact as possible. Whereas in the Philippines, you can offer things like 24/7 servicing, you can offer real human contact and customer service and things like that.
Correct, and the Philippines is the perfect place to do it because we've got pa very passionate people that love to go out of their way to see that a customer's happy.
Yeah, there's certainly people, aren't they? They're communicators. And so what was the move then? What was the conversation like for you to come over to the Philippines? You'd been working then about 7 years, on the other side of the desk, as you said, in outsourcing. But was it a shock to you to come to the Philippines, or had you been visiting here previously?
No, so everything I'd done in the past was let's say through Skype and multimedia, and in truth, I got sent over here to set up a brand new accounting system department. So I got sent over to the Philippines for eight weeks, sorry. It extended to 10 or 12 weeks. And I fell in love with the place. A big difference for me is in Australia, we've got people that have everything. So you've got like live in a nice suburbs. People have got two cars and houses, and you can still have negativity all the time, where a lot of the people here could be sweeping a dirt floor and be cheery as every day as you walk past them and say hello.
Yeah, it's there's a stark contrast, isn't there? And there's a lot of keeping up with the Joneses in the West that I think is just not so much a good vibe. And you were dealing with outsourced operatives and arranging all this for many years prior to coming over here. What was the differential in your insight from the day before you came here to the day that you came here and actually just saw people in real life and connected with them?
Well, understand it brought a much broader scope of what they were dealing with here, and more you got to see the cultural side of things just shine through. Okay, so I got to see passionate people that might not understand every single question that we ask straight away, but they go out of their way to understand things and research things, and it's just amazing how diverse the Filipino people are.
Fantastic. And so you are in Clark, which for those that are unaware is it's kind of a satellite city outside of Manila, isn't it? Just kind of on the verge edge of Manila, and it's also a free port, and has sort of really interesting kind of background, but there's a thriving outsourcing and business community out there with also like a kind of favorable tax exemption kind of
That's
thing.
perfect explanation. So
I
I
kind of
guess
cobbled
the
that one together, but
well I guess we're on an old American airbase, so we get their benefits of the infrastructure they started. So, and now Clark's becoming a designer city, so
Fantastic.
it's the growth here is extraordinary. It's actually an exciting time to be here.
Fantastic. And so I want to get you back and I want to really deep dive into Boomerang. I want to find out what you do and where your value adds are, where your strengths are for that company and the clients of that company. But just briefly, do you want to give us an introduction into Boomerang? It is based in Clark then. You've got years of experience now. What, I suppose, an elevator pitch does Boomerang really offer? Boomerang, sorry.
I guess simplicity. So Boomerang offers a insight into how we can work with you with people's companies, how it'll affect them and what they could go through, and potential business owners need to know that I would class Boomerang as a boutique BPO, meaning that we're here to work with them in every step of the way. Okay, so we've got foreigners on the floor at all times, ready to reach out to any client's needs at any one stage. So we've taken all the things that we can and tried to make a BPO as flexible as we can, so any business or client could have agility they need.
Right. And I mean, we'll get into this in when we get you back, but and people really severely undervalue that, don't they? They have all of your expertise. You know, it's not just like they're paying someone, they get a bum on a seat for X amount, but they're actually, they're buying into the expertise that you bring along with it and your management team.
Correct. They get with the expertise, they can hear all the wrong things not to do that other people have learned lessons through.
So anyway, we've just been interrupted there by a walk-in, but that's absolutely cool. I am looking forward to getting you back next time so we can really deep dive into exactly those values. Thank you so much, Dean. And if anyone, Dean Pascoe of Boomerang, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
I think reach out to myself personally, dean@boomerang.ph.
Fantastic. And all of those details will be in the show notes. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you so much.
That was Dean Pascoe of boomerang.ph. If you want to get in touch with Dean at all or want to know any more about the episode, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/180. And of course, if you want to drop us an email, then do so at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.